And welcome back into Morning Blitz, a Monday morning edition, GameDaySportsRadio.com. Boji Wood still here with you to get you through this Monday morning. The Blitz, as always, brought to you by Firehouse Subs, over 1,000 locations nationwide. Firehouse Subs, the hero of all subs. 11 of the top 25 teams lost this past week. Florida among them. They dropped four spots down to 13. Texas had the biggest drop at nine spots, all the way from six down to 15. Iowa just dropped one spot down to 19 after really blowing that game at Penn State. They should have won the football game. And then and matching the Texas drop is Texas A&M. They dropped nine spots down to number 25. Washington, after their loss, dropped completely out, as did Oregon, Wisconsin, South Florida, North Carolina State, Stanford, and Appalachian State. Only spent actually less than a week in the top 25 as they were beaten on Thursday night. To find out what all this means out in Las Vegas and if there were any surprises this week, let's bring in Mike Bernard from OTM Sports, based out of Las Vegas, Nevada. Mike, how are you doing? Was it a good weekend for you?
Saturday was good. Sunday, not so great. But we're talking about college football today, and 11 teams lose again. And I know we had a lot of teams that played that were both ranked that lost. But I agree with you about Iowa. By the way, I had Iowa. But they should have won that game, but let it slip away.
Yeah, and that goes back to coaches trying to play video games. Let the kids play. I mean, the Iowa quarterback, I can't even put it on him because he's doing what the sideline is telling him to do to kill the play and go to another play. And, I mean, you know, again, I, you know, I'm not saying we need to go back to the, you know, the horse and buggy days, but, man, I just appreciate the days back when I played, when a coach told the kid to play, he ran it in, he told the quarterback, and that was it. I mean, you know, all the coaches changing plays three or four times. I think that's one of the things that's wrong with college football today, but that's another show. Let's get into some of the games that are going to have an effect down the road here in the next few weeks, as tomorrow night is when the first actual football playoff rankings, the official rankings, come out. Of course, we're just looking at the AP poll that really doesn't mean a whole lot right now, but it's what we've got until tomorrow night. And we'll get you back Wednesday morning. We'll talk about that poll. But Thursday night, there's a game that is going to end up having implications one way or another. They're either going to play their way into consideration or they're going to lose, and we're not going to be having this conversation. But Thursday night, West Virginia, 58-14 over Baylor. Now, Mike, to me, again, the Mountaineers, I think they're a legitimate football team. I think they're, I think they can play right now. From what I've seen, I think they can play with most anybody.
Well, Vegas has them ranked about 18th power ranking, but I have them ranked higher than that because they have the best defense in the Big 12. Now, when we look at their schedule, okay, they're a 2.5 point favorite. Excuse me, they're a 2.5 point underdog against Texas because the game's played in Austin. So they go to Texas, then they play TCU, who's just totally messed up the bed, and then they have to play at Oklahoma State, and then they play Oklahoma. So I still don't think West Virginia is going to come out unscathed, but right now you do have to take notice.
And let's say that they do come out unscathed and they run all the way through that gauntlet that you just mentioned, win the Big 12 championship. They're a one-loss Big 12 champion whose only loss is to an Iowa State team who's right now 4-3. But if you look at it, they have played, and I'm talking about Iowa State, has played the toughest schedule in the country. So that is a quality loss when you look at it.
It is. What's going to come down to, we're obviously speculating, but if West Virginia wins out, it's going to come down to what the teams above them do. Because, to be honest, if one loss – West Virginia team is not going to get in over, say, a one-loss Michigan or one-loss Alabama or one-loss Georgia.
Yeah, I think that I think a conference champion, one-loss Big 12 champion, will get in over a one-loss non-SEC champion, but we'll see how that plays out.
Oh, I don't.
Clemson, speaking of the teams above West Virginia, Clemson, easy 59-10 winners over the Seminoles. Florida State, they're not even close right now to where they want to be and need to be. Even Willie Taggart said, hey, some of the players quit on Saturday.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask you. Is this a case where the players have actually quit? Because it certainly looks like it, and that has to be concerning. It's only his first year. And remember what Charlie Strong had to go through when he was at Texas. He started getting rid of the bad apples, and he didn't have enough apples to play.
Yeah, and Willie Taggart's going through that same thing right now. Their streak of consecutive bowls, which I think goes back over four decades now, it is in serious jeopardy, I think more so than it was last year.
Yeah, definitely. Last year they ended up 7-6. They got their way in. Let me take a look at their schedule, see what they have left. They have at NC State, at Notre Dame, a capable Boston College team, and Florida. So I think that streak ends.
Speaking of Florida, they went to Jacksonville, took on Georgia, number 9 and number 7 teeing off in the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. 36-17, the Bulldogs win it. But let's look deep. It was a one-possession game with under 10 minutes to go, 23-17. Georgia gets two touchdowns late to make it look like a blowout. But this Florida defense, they played well. Florida's offense didn't do their part.
No, the offense – well, the first possession of the game, maybe the first play of the game, the flea flicker, that would have been six. It was just overthrown by a few yards. And that kind of told you what was going to happen. But the Florida defense had a great defensive stand inside. I think they had about 8 or 9 plays inside their 5, and they held up. But, Coach, we talked about that game when we previewed it. We thought Georgia should and probably would try to establish the run game. They ran it 41 times, had success, averaged 4.5 yards per carry. So I think Kirby Smart made a great correction from the LSU game.
Big game up in Lexington this week, which is actually, we were talking about the Georgia-Florida game being the de facto SEC East Championship game. This week up in Lexington, it's not de facto. It is the SEC East Championship game in Lexington. Kentucky beat Missouri 15-14, no time on the clock after a pass interference call in the end zone. But again, Kentucky has no offense whatsoever, a fantastic defense, and no offense, that's not going to work against Georgia. But the people in Kentucky, they're fired up about this game. They're kind of pointing to this as almost a watershed moment in Kentucky football, much like back, I believe, in 97 when Alabama came to town and Hal Mumme and the Wildcats upset Bama. But let me tell you, this Alabama team that went to Lexington in 1997, it couldn't hold a candle against this Georgia team right now.
No, they couldn't. But, hey, look, we talked about that Kentucky game, and I said I don't think they're one of the top two teams in the East, even though they beat Florida. But if they went to Missouri and got the win, I would give them the respect, and they did it. And I also was very surprised. Remember, I didn't think Kentucky could make Missouri play that game of 3 yards in a cloud of dust in a low-scoring game. They certainly did it, and they came out on top no matter how they did. And now, look, Coach, they play Georgia, then it's at Tennessee, and they're done. So the winner of – if they beat Georgia, they are in Atlanta.
No doubt about it. And listen, I like Mike Stoops. I love what he's doing with that defense. But I just can't see them playing against Georgia without an offense. But I said the same thing about Missouri. And so, you know, who knows? Maybe the Wildcats have one more trick in the bag. In Stillwater, Oklahoma on Saturday night, this is a game that went pretty much the way you and I thought it would, except I even thought it could be worse than this. But the Oklahoma State Cowboys knocked off the Longhorns 38-35. And what that really does, it doesn't do anything except for Oklahoma State except improve their record to 5-3 and enhance their respectability as far as the bowls go. But what it does for the Longhorns, it just basically ended their season as far as the playoffs go.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And you called Texas a pretender, and I said they were – overvalued, and it showed again. They were winning close games early on, and but that loss at Maryland told me, I know it was week one, but it told me they weren't a true contender. Now they're going to play spoiler rule. They can knock West Virginia out, and Texas, Vegas has Texas as a 2.5 or 3-point favorite. Of course, that game is in Austin.
Right.
So the Longhorns are favored over West Virginia.
Mike, when we look at this week, obviously we know that the game that everyone's going to be taking a look at, and again, taking nothing away from Georgia and Kentucky because that is the SEC East Championship game. But we all know that the game that everyone's going to be watching is going in the SEC is going to be Baton Rouge, Saturday night, CBS primetime kickoff. It's number one Alabama, number four LSU.
The first true test for Alabama. All their other games were absolute routes. This is their first true test. They're a 2-touchdown favorite on the road in Baton Rouge. LSU has players in the secondary that Alabama's earlier opponents don't have.
Mm-hmm. And I also think this year the difference is going to be for LSU if, again, I'm not predicting a Tiger victory at all, but if we look back at this game, if LSU is successful and can beat Alabama, I think it's going to go back to Joe Burrow and his play because you just look at his body of work thus far. He is by far the best quarterback that LSU has had in a decade.
I agree. And this is the first time Alabama is going to be tested. And we're talking about starters that haven't played in fourth quarter, including the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Alabama's probably likely they're going to need him in the fourth quarter. And it'll be an interesting game. We'll talk about that on Inside the Numbers. I'm going to study that game. Right now, it's right basically where the point spread came out right where I thought it would. We'll see where it moves from here.
And, Mike, not a lot of this past week. We had a lot of ranked teams playing each other. We've got a few, of course, Georgia, Kentucky, West Virginia, Texas, Alabama, and LSU, as we talked about. But one that people are kind of overlooking right now as far as being, and again, I say people in except in Big Ten country, they're overlooking that Michigan-Penn State game because Penn State has to go to Michigan, but Michigan has to win to keep the inside track to the playoffs.
They do, and Michigan, and I say only, they're only a 10-point favorite. Remember, they were a 10-point favorite over Wisconsin and blew them out, so Vegas thinks Penn State can give them a closer game. And Penn State, they have nothing to lose. They're in that spoiler role. And that would throw a real wrench into not only the Big Ten East race, but also the playoff race.
Yeah, and Mike, that is a that game right there. If Penn State gets the upset, then Michigan turns around and beats Ohio State. Man, it is going to be chaos in the Big Ten, and of course, those implications will roll over into the football playoff rankings.
Yeah, well, if that scenario plays out, I think the Big Ten is out again.
Yeah, you know, you and I have talked off the air. There's actually a scenario that works out here where the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the Pac-12 are shut out of the playoffs.
Well, the Pac-12's done.
Right.
I don't see any way Washington State can get up there, and you and I talked about that basically in late September because they kind of played themselves out of it. The Big Ten would take that type of scenario you just mentioned, and the Big 12, if it's not Oklahoma, West Virginia might get knocked out. And I'll say this, Coach. Notre Dame's ranked 3 in the AP. I'm really interested to see where the committee puts them because right now the Las Vegas oddsmakers have Notre Dame ranked anywhere from 7 to 8. So usually the committee is closer to Las Vegas rankings than the AP, but this year I think the first initial one that Notre Dame's going to be around 4 or 5.
Yeah, and as we look back over the course of the history of the college football playoffs, the first week of rankings, it never ends up that way in the end. There's a lot of movement the last 3 weeks of the season and then into the conference championship games.
Yeah, and we know why that is. It's the pressure of November, and we've already seen a little glimpse of that type of pressure, teams falling under it, and this week is November, and I think we'll see it again.
All right, Mike Bernard, OTM Sports, based out of Las Vegas. Mike, we'll have you back on in the morning, do a little NFL recap.
Sounds great. Talk to you then.
We'll be right back. GameDaySportsRadio.com, Monday Morning Blitz.